Today's shiur is Masech Demakis, Daf Yud Ches. We will begin on Daf Yud Zayin, on the base, the last line of Anan Tanan. In the previous shiur, the Gemara had quoted the pasuk of Lesuch Lech B'Sherecha, Masa Degoncha V'Sereishcha V'Tzarecha, V'Bekaris B'Karcha V'Tzaynecha, V'Chol Nedvesecha Ashatida, V'Nedvesecha V'Truma Siyotcha. And the Mara had explained that pasuk, as Reb Shimon had explained, and the Gemara said that it represented brilliant explanation on the part of Reb Shimon, all sorts of different isurim that were learned from that pasuk. The Gemara then said that how could Reb Shimon assume to learn different isurim based on a kal v'chomer and understanding that pasuk? Don't we have a rule that eim asirim and adin? As we explained in the previous end of the previous shiur, even though throughout Shas there's a machloikis of onshim and adin or ein onshim and adin, which means can we use a kal v'chomer to teach us that one is going to get a specific punishment? Says the Gemara, even if we have that question is only in a situation where we know that something specifically osim midaraisa. We just don't know what is the punishment. So the question is, can we rely on a kal v'chomer to identify what the punishment ought to be? But here, where if Shimon is trying to use a kal v'chomer to establish an iser, the Gemara says nobody would suggest that that's acceptable. And because of that, the Gemara said that Rav Shimon really meant that it was an Isser, that the halachas that he was referring to were only Isurim. We explained at the end of our shiur yesterday what is the difference between an Isser and something which is Osim Midaraisa. And therefore, the Gemara is wrong. Rav Shimon is only referring to Isurim. Ask the Gemara, but when we learned at the end of the shiur, and we're going to come back to this rule soon, where Rav said, Zor sha'ochem an oilef ne'ezrika, chutz l'chayma, Rav Shimon, you get five isurim. One of the isurim is the isur of a zor eating lifnei zrika, eating from a carbon oila before the zrika, chutz l'chayma. The question is that how could the Gemara ask the Mishnah suggest that it's only an Isser, not something that's Osma Deraisa, that carries with it an Einish of Malkus, where our Mishnah, which brought us into this entire Sugya, began with the words, Elohein Halaikin, these are Isurim Deraisa, for which there are Malkus, and the Mishnah, in identifying those Isurim, spoke about Akare Bikurim Achalai Karaleim. If somebody eats Bikurim before he read the parish of Rami Ovid Avi, and the Kalocha of Kachi Kachim, if he ate Kachi Kachim, Chutz L'Klayim. And our Mishnah, which is the entire subject of our parak, learning parak Elohein Halaikin, is not just speaking about a situation which is only an Isser. Our Mishnah is speaking about a Chi of Malkus. And we know that our Mishnah, the Gemara said at the beginning of the Gemara in yesterday's shiur, follows the opinion of Rav Shimon. So obviously Rav Shimon is speaking about a Chi of Malkus, not just about an Isser. And that's the Gemara's question that we begin with. But Natanan, didn't our Mishnah speak about Elohein Halaikin? So how can we suggest that Rav Shimon just means an Isser, not a Chi of Malkus? So as Rashi explains, and we're going to follow Rashi's explanation in this Gemara. The way Rav Shimon establishes that someone who eats the Kabikurim before he did Kriya Shem is Chayiv Malkus learns it from the following pasuk. Michtik Siv Vaveisa Shama Vachaltal Fnei Shama Kecha B'Mokai Mashiyivchar. The Torah says that you should eat the Bikurim. The Torah says you should eat the Bikurim in Yerushalayim after you bring them to Hashem. The If the Torah meant to teach us, says Rav Shimon, if the Torah meant to teach us just this din, and that you can't eat them before you do Kriya Shem, so then, says the Gemara, licht of kra, lechsucha l'achlam. All the Torah should have just add, there's a chiyuv lechsucha l'achlam, that you may not eat them outside of the right time and place. Mehedim afarsh b'rachmana lomeli. Why did the Torah have to repeat an entire pasuk that we quote at the beginning of Shir, of lechsucha l'achlam? What's the point of repeating, of mentioning that whole pasuk? To teach us, says the Gemara, eliyichudi lavi, to teach us that if somebody eats bikurim before this Kriya Shem, the first din of the Mishnah that began this sugya, he'll be chayiv malchus. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara, and that's how we're going to learn the Gemara. However, as Rashi himself observes, we've only addressed our shiur today. We began with a question on two of these surim that were mentioned in the Mishnah. One issue is the lav of Bikurim before Kriya Shem, and one is the lav of eating Kachi Kachim Chutz L'Kloim. We've successfully answered, points out Rashi, where Rav Shimon learns there's a lav for eating Bikurim before Kriya. But where do we have a lav for Kloim, Kachi Kachim Chutz L'Kloim? That the Gemara will address soon. But the way the Gemara addresses it is as follows. Gufa, as we learned in the previous shiur, Rava teaches us, Zar sh'ochel min ha'oila lifnei zrika. If a non-kayin eats from a carbon oila lifnei zrika, and he eats it chutz l'chayma, and he eats it outside of the walls of the Azara, L'Rav Shimon, according to Rav Shimon, outside the walls of Yerushalayim, L'Rav Shimon, like a chamish. According to Rav Shimon, you get five malkas. And as we explained in the previous shiur, what are the five malchus? One malchus is for chutz l'chaimah. One malchus is for chutz l'chloim. One malchus is because he's a zar. One malchus is because it's a carbon oila. And as we discussed in the previous shiur, a carbon oila has to be burnt. And one lav is because lifnei zrika. So we established five lavim. Ask the Gemara, but actually there's another lav. V'lo kinami. This pasuk is found in the parasha of the Shivas Yemei Melun. We all recall that the first, as the Mishkan was erected, when the Mishkan was erected on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, the 7 days prior to Rosh Chodesh Nissan were the Shivas Yemei Melun. And during those 7 days prior to the Rosh Chodesh Nissan, Moshe Rabbeinu did the Avodah. There were certain Kabbonis that Moshe Rabbeinu brought those days. And those Kabbonis were supposed to be eaten strictly by Kahanim and not by anyone else. And the Pasuk teaches us, V'zor lo yoichel, ki kodeshein. The Torah is teaching us a lav, that if a Zor eats a Kabbon he's not allowed to eat, he's over Malchus. So why doesn't Rava include this lav in the list of lavim? Answers the Gemara, Hanimili Heichad L'Kohanim Chaza. That pasuk is speaking about karbonis that Kohanim may and should eat, and the Torah is teaching us that only Kohanim may and should eat those karbonis, not Yisraelim. However, here Rav is referring to a carbon oila, and as I said a moment ago, a carbon oila is kolal; no one is allowed to eat it. So that pasuk isn't referring hocha. Rava, who's speaking about a carbon oila, the kahanim nami lochazi, that even kahanim may not eat that carbon, that's not included in such a case. But ask the Gemara, v'loki nami, why don't we get malchus for a different lav? The pasuk says, obasa besada treifa loisachelu, to teach us, kivin shiyotza basa chutz l'michitzasai, if a carbon is taken out of its prescribed area, nesar. So here the carbon oil was taken out of the Azara, it becomes Asur. And therefore, why doesn't Rav include that lav in his list? So there are a number of points to be made as we speak about this lav. The first and most obvious question is, this pasuk as we understand the words of the pasuk, when we learned it in yeshiva, teaches us ubas besad the treif leisachelu, that you're not allowed to eat treif for meat. Whereas the pasuk, how does we identify that this pasuk is talking about eating kachim outside of the azara, or outside wherever they're allowed to be eaten? So I saw two answers to that question. One approach that the mafarshim say is, if all the pasuk is teaching us that we're not allowed to eat treif meat, why does the pasuk have to say ubas besad the treif? Pasuk should have said a basa treifa leisa chelu. So the word basad is extra to teach us this halacha. Tara Tamima has a very interesting approach. He says, what does the word treifa mean? The word treifa can mean a treifa animal, but the word treifa, he says, also can mean mixed up. Taruf beklapi. Well, basa basada treifa, the pasuk is saying if you eat something mixed up, not in its proper place, you're over the lav of leisa chelu. And interestingly enough, I saw a beautiful vart from the Yisrach Moshe. He says, this pasuk is teaching us, this is a pidrush, a very important lesson. He says, ubasa besada. He says, ein lecha yofa min atznius. The way a Jew is supposed to act, he's supposed to remain low-key, not supposed to do things publicly. Ubasa besada. If you do things publicly, besada outdoors, treifa. That type of action is treifa leisachelu. It's unacceptable behavior. Actually, however, as Tosfos points out, the Gemara Masechta Chulin Perek Gid Anasha uses this pasuk to teach us a different limud. The Gemara there comes to teach us that we know, we're going to discuss this at length when we learn Masechta Chulin, that if you shecht a female, and while you shecht the female, the baby, it has a baby in its womb, the midaraisa, the shechita of the mother, works for the child. However, the Gemara says, let's say the child sticks out its hand while you're shechting it, then the shechita of the mother will not be effective for the child. There's actually mechlokes rishon, what does the Gemara mean? One shot is that I said a minute ago that the shechita of a mother midaraisa works for the baby. Here won't. The baby will have its own independent chiv shechita if you want to eat it. However, there are other rishonim that want to suggest that that baby will be considered an Avram and a Chai, and one may not eat it at all. And in that, too, there's a machloikus rishonim. What does that mean? Does it mean that the limb that it stuck out will be Avram and a Chai, but it has no bearing on the rest of the animal? Or will the entire animal that stuck, this entire baby that stuck one limb out, be considered Avram and a Chai? Which leads Tosfos to ask a question. We've learned that one of the categories of lavin, for which there's no malchus, is a lav shebeklavos. So why now is this lav? The Gemara wants to say that if one eats kachim that were taken out of their proper place, you get malchus because of bas besada treifa loisachelu. But the way we just explained, based on the Gemara Masechta Makis, Masechta Chulin, this is a lav shebeklavos because it speaks about two very different subjects. So some rishonim suggest that indeed the Gemara could have given that as a teretz. That's one teretz. Another teretz that the Rishonim give is, as we've been learning, and I said it earlier, and we learned it actually in our previous year, we're not speaking here about malchus. The Gemara said that all we're trying to accomplish is the Surah Ba'alma. So yes, if our issue here was an issue of malchus, so we have an exception of a lav shebeklolos. But here it's not malchus, it's Isser. Isser, there is no concept of Isser shebeklolos. A third teretz that the Rishonim suggest is that the concept of kachim taken out of the place that they're allowed to be eaten, and the concept of the animal sticking out its, the baby sticking out its hand from the womb of the mother, are actually the same concept. It's a concept of being of yotza. It's not in the place that it's supposed to be, and therefore it's not considered lav shebeklolos because they're both the exact same lav. But then, I sort of the mafarshim ask a different question. This question actually is relevant to this entire sugi. The Aruch HaNer discusses this question. He asks that we have a rule throughout Shas of Ein Issachal Al Isser, a very common rule. So he asks, let's speak about the case that we're discussing. Rav is speaking about a carbon oil. A carbon oil, as we learned, is not allowed to be eaten. It's kollel, has to be completely burnt. So it's Osir. So now the Gemara is suggesting that after we take the carbon oil outside of the Azorah, we take it outside of Yerushalayim, new Isurim are added to it, the Isurim of Chutz L'Chaimah, Chutz L'Azorah, Chutz L'Kloyim. But it's Einis Chalalis, it's already awesome because it's carbon oila. So how can new Isurim be added? So there, the Arm of Farashim, let's say, a Chiddush, that even though throughout Shas we have a concept of Ein Issa Chalal Isser, in Kachim, we're going to see, we're going to learn, especially when we get into the Kachim, that Kachim go with their own rules. And the rule of Ein Issa Chalal Isser doesn't apply by Kachim. The Aruch Haner, however, says a very interesting teretz. He says we can have a situation where all these Isurim come at the exact same moment. He says, what would happen if we shecht today a carbon oila? And then took it outside the Azara and took it outside the Kloim and all the other, it's Lifnei Zrika and it's a Yisrael, all the Yisurim that we're discussing. And we have a boy, a girl will be the same, who's pre-bar mitzvah, pre-bas mitzvah. So today they have no Isra of eating it. They're not bar mitzvah yet. Tomorrow, they become bar mitzvah. At the moment they become bar mitzvah, all of these Yisurim come at the exact same moment. They come simultaneously. So it's not a situation of Einis Achala Lisser, and that's the situation that the Gemara is referring to when it's trying to establish that there could be many lavim involved with this one piece of carbon meat. So again, back to the Gemara. The Lilki Nami Mishum Basa Basa the Trey for Loisa Chelu that teaches us Kivin Shiyatza Basa Chutzlim Chitzasa Neser answers the Gemara the same terrors. Hani Mili, when does this lav apply? Heichad Vifnim Chazi. Where this carbon could have been eaten in the Azara. Hacha, however, we're referring to carbon oila. The bifnim nami lechazi, that even in the Azara, as we've been learning, is not allowed to be eaten. Therefore, this lav doesn't apply. Ask the Gemara. Vidnilkin nami kedrabalaza, but there's another lav, perhaps the one is ivor. Darabalaza, lo yoichel, the pasuk says, lo yoichel kikaidish, kosh bekaidish pasuk, anything that may not be eaten, this bar kosef leisitein al chilasai. There the pasuk speaking about nicer, and the Torah is teaching us that anything that became disqualified, you get a lav if you eat it. So this carbon that was taken out of the Azara, was taken out of Yerushalayim, is disqualified. So why doesn't Rava mention that lav? Answers the Gemara the same terms. Hanimili, when is one over that lav? In a situation that before became possible, one would have been allowed to eat it. However, here, that even before it became disqualified, even before it was taken out of the Azar in Yerushalayim, it's a carbon oila, which may not be eaten. Therefore, this lav is not relevant. Ask the Gemara. V'loki namikidach v'lezer. But why don't we mention the other lav, the other limud and lav that Rebbe Lezer taught us? The Tanya, Rebbe Lezer Omer, kol shu b'kol tiya, wherever the Torah says that something should be completely burned, let it in loisas al chilasai. The Torah says that we know the halacha is that when a Yisrael brings a carbon mincha, the carbon mincha, a kaimitz of the carbon mincha is removed, and it's burnt, and the rest of the carbon mincha is eaten by the Kohanim. But the Torah teaches us, Umeches Kayin, Kolol Tia, Loisi Eichel. Umeches Kayin should be completely burnt. The Mefarshim explained because since it's the Kayin's carbon, it's difficult to designate what's what, but it doesn't make a difference what the reason is, the Torah says it. Umeches Kayin, Kolol Tia, should be completely burnt, Loisi Eichel. So here we see that anything that must be entirely burnt, loisaychel, there's a lav if you eat it. So we go back to our Gemara. Rav is speaking about a carbon oila. And Rav is teaching us that a carbon oila, how many lav in your oiver? If somebody eats it, so here we should be over this lav of Miches Kayin, Kayal Tiyah, loisaychel. So I sort of Mefarshim asked the obvious question. This pasuk, of Miches Kayin, Kayal Tiyah, loisaychel, isn't available to teach us that any carbon that has to be completely burnt, there's a lav if you eat it. We need it to teach us the halacha that I just said a minute ago, that the mincha of a kohen has to be completely burnt. So how can I use this pasuk to teach us this new lav? So I saw two answers to this question. One, some of Farshim answer, that the Torah adds the words, mincha's called kolotia. The word tia is superfluous to teach us this halacha. But then I saw a beautiful answer from the Torah to Mima. Tara Tamima says like this. the proper order that the pasuk should have really said, "Amichas koyin, lo ya'ichel, kolotia." That the Torah is teaching us, number one, lo ya'ichel, you're not allowed to eat that mincha, and not only are you not allowed to eat it, but kolotia, you're supposed to burn it. What does the Torah say? The Torah says just the opposite. Kolotia, burn it, lo ya'ichel. Of course, if you burn it, why lo ya'ichel? So the word lo ya'ichel, the way the Torah writes it, which is in the reverse order what the Torah should have written, are extra to teach us that any carbon that has to be burnt, lois soichel, there's a lav if you eat it. And therefore the Gemara has a geshmak akasha, why isn't this lav listed by Rava? Enechanami. Answers the Gemara, indeed, this is another lav that one would be over under these circumstances. So why didn't Rava mention it? Because Rava is trying to teach us all the lavin that are, or the surim, that are established from the pasuk that we mentioned at the beginning of the shir, Lesuchalach b'sharecha. But indeed, there are other lavin that one is over if he eats a carbon oiler with the circumstances that Rava mentioned. Says the Gemara, Amrav Gidl Amarav, Simen Kuza, Koin sh'ochel mechatas v'oshin, if a koin eats from a carbon mechatas v'carbon asher, lifnei zrika, before the zrika was done, which we know that the zrika is the part that brings the kapara loika. He's chayiv malchus. My tama, why? Damakra, for ochlo oisam ashekup behem. Lach kapara in, strictly after the kapara, which is accomplished through the zrikas adam, may the carbon be eaten, lifnei kapara, but before the zrikas adam was done, loy, it may not be eaten. Ask the Gemara, but isn't this a lav abo mechlal essay? The Torah doesn't say, don't do something. The Torah says, do something. The Torah says, only eat it after the zrika, after the kapara. And we're extrapolating that it means, and don't eat it before. So isn't this a lav abo mechlal essay? Obviously, says the Gemara, this Rav Gila Merav is of the opinion that lav abo mechlal essay is considered a lav. Even though the Torah doesn't say it in a negative wording, it's still considered a lav. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Masav Rava, the Torah, when it speaks about the identification of which are and which aren't kosher animals, says, V'chol behema v'freses parsa v'shesah ha'shesa, any animal that chooses v'freses parsa v'shesah ha'shesa, shtei parosis, malagem behema, any animal that has split hooves and a hose, and it chews its cud, ois techelu. That animal may be eaten. And we learn, ois techelu, only this animal may be eaten, vein behem achers techelu. Now, ask the Gemara. If we're saying, so we have again here a situation of a lav habo mechlal masei. Ask the Gemara, if indeed the halacha is that a lav habo mechlal masei is considered a lav, v'yikaduk amrit, if what we're saying is correct, that this establishes a lav, so why do we need another pasuk to teach us as Zula Techlamali? We already established the laugh from this pasuk. Ela, says the Gemara, Yitma Hachitma. The way to understand is just is differently. Amar of Gidol Merav, Zor. We're not talking about a Koyin. We're talking about a Zor. Sh'ocha Machatis V'oshim L'fnei Zrika. If he eats L'fnei Zrika, Potter. He's not Chayiv Malkus. Of course, as all the Mepharshim point out, he's not Chayiv Malkus. It's certainly Osir, and some Rishonim point out that it's Chiv Malkus. The Pasuk wants to, what the Gemara wants to establish is that there's no Chiv Malkus from this Pasuk. There may be Chiv Malkus based on other Pasukim. My Tama, why is there no Chiv Malkus based on this Pasuk? Because I'm a Krah, V'ochloi Sam, Ashakupa Behem. Kol Eich the Queen above, V'ochloi Sam, Ashakupa Behem, only in a situation where Kohanim, who are allowed to eat it, that's when the lav of Karina Bevazar lo yoichel kodesh. That's when the lav of Zar lo yoichel kicks in. However, v'kol hecha, the loy Karina Bevachel oisom ashekupa behem, as long as the people who may normally eat it, meaning the Kahanim, may not eat it, lo Karina Bevachel, the lav of Zar lo yoichel doesn't apply. That's why, lifnei zrika, even a Yisrael who eats of this carbon, a Zor who eats of this carbon, is not over this lav. Ask the Rishonim, why is our Gemara, the way we've been explaining, only focusing on Zrika? The truth of the matter is that Kohanim are really not allowed to eat from the carbon even after Zrika. They're not allowed to eat from the Karbanos until the Amorin are burnt. So why is the Gemara focused on the Zrika? The Gemara should have focused on the Amorin. So Mepharshim say that indeed the halach is that if the Amorim are there, the Kohanim may not eat from that carbon, and therefore Yisrael is not over until the Amorim are burnt. But the halacha, again, we're going to learn these sugyas in Masechet Zvachim, is that let's say you have a carbon, and it was properly brought, and all the havodas were done. But before you burnt the Amorim got lost. The carbon is not disqualified. So since Amorim aren't considered an essential avoda, the proof being that the Amorim getting lost doesn't disqualify the carbon, so Gemara focuses on the Zrika, where carbon can never be kosher without Zrik Sadam, which again, Gemara that we're going to learn, that let's say the blood is lost, then the carbon is disqualified if you can't do Zrik Sadam. But the Amorim aren't essential, that's why the Gemara focuses more on the Zrika than on the Amorim. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Yishu. We began the sugya with Bikurim. And just to quickly review, and the Gemara is going to speak about it more later in the shir, the process was that the Bikurim were brought, they were put down in front of the Mizbeach, and then the person who brought it read the Parsha of Arami Ovid Avi, said the Parsha of Arami Ovid Avi, and then Tanufa was done, which we'll again describe later in the shir exactly how Tanufa was done. So says the Gemara, Amar Belaza, Amar Baishia, Bikurim Hanacha Ma'akavas Behen. Until Hanacha is done, a Kohen may not eat from the Bikurim. And as we learned in the Mishnah, we're going to learn more in the Gemara, if a Kohen does eat from the Bikurim at that point, he's over a laugh. Kriya, the reading of the Parasha, and Ma'akavas Behen are not essential. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amar Belaza Hachi. Did Rabbi Elazar indeed say this? Says the Gemara, V'amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Yishia, Hifrish Bikurim Kodem L'Chag, if somebody separated Bikurim before Sukkos. Why is Sukkos called Chag? Because from the Sholosh Regolim, the Yontif that represents the time of greatest Simcha is the Yontif of Sukkos. And before we go further, let's just review. The halach is that Bikurim can be brought any time from Shavuos to Chanukah. After Chanukah, you can't bring Bikurim. However, the Parsha of Arami Ovid Avi, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, can only be said till Sukkos. If you bring it after Sukkos, you can't say the Parsha of Arami Ovid Avi. And I'll explain in a moment why. Again, if somebody separated Bikurim before Sukkos, and then Sukkos passed, Yirkavu. We have to let those Bikurim rot, and we can't bring them anymore. My laugh is the reason that Mishun de Lamatzel Mikrolayim. As I said a minute ago, we can't say the Parasha Mikra Bikurim after Sukkos. Now, ask the Gemara. V'sakadatach Kriya Emekavis Ben, if we're suggesting that the whole Kriya is not essential, so fine, you can't read it after Sukkos. Why should that cause you that you have to let it to rot? The whole reading is not essential. So my Yirkavu, bring them this way. Why is the halacha that Bikurim that are brought after Sukkos are left to rot? So the Mefarshim explained, because part of the wording of the Torah that's read in that parasha of Mikra Bikurim says the Samacht B'chol HaTayif. So from Shavuos to Sukkos is the time where all the crops will gather in, and that's the time of great Simcha, where a person works on his field, and now he's reaping the benefit of what he did. He's seeing the profit. But after Sukkos, which is no longer the time of bringing the crops in, so it's not a time of Simcha, therefore you can't read it anymore. Furthermore, I saw a very interesting Ramban. The Ramban says, where is there a problem that if you bring it after Sukkos, the halacha is you have to let it rot, only in a situation where your intention when you were mafresh the Bikurim was to bring the Bikurim before Sukkos. So those were Bikurim that you intended to bring before Sukkos and read the Parasha Mikra Bikurim. And then for whatever reason you got delayed and you only bring it after Sukkos, there is a halacha that Yirkavu. But let's say, says the Ramban, if you were mafresh to Bikurim before Sukkos and it was your intent from when you were mafresh those bikurim, to only bring him after Sukkos, then this halacha would not apply. Bring him after Sukkos without the mikra bikurim. So again, ask the Gemara. If, as we're learning now, the entire kriya is not essential, so why should it make a difference that I can't read the parasha? Answers the Gemara, a concept that's very commonly mentioned in Shas, Kid Rab Zeira. Dom Rab Zeira, Kol Aroi Labila, Ein Bebeila Mekevispa, Vekosh Ein Roi Labila, Bila Mekevispa. This halacha, and if you look on the side, the Gemara itself, we see that's mentioned perhaps like 10 times throughout Shas, which means as follows. The halacha is, I mentioned earlier in our shir, the Karban Mincha. The Karban Mincha has a number of ingredients, oil and flour, levaina, and the halacha is that they're all supposed to be mixed together. But the Gemara says many places that bila ema kevis. If you don't mix them together, it's fine. But Reb Zeira teaches us a halacha. Now let's say somebody donated a Karban Mincha that should have in it 61 isorin of flour, and you want to put it into the kli sharis, into the utensil, that carbon is disqualified. Why? Because you have too much flour to be able to properly mix it. So the question is, so what? We just said a minute ago, you don't have to mix it. The answer is, you have to be able to mix this. Kol haroi labila, if you could theoretically mix it, then the halacha is, ein bila makevis, if you didn't, it's fine. Kol haroi labila, but if it's not mixable, then it's a problem. And this is a concept that's used in many places. Just to mention a few that I've seen. One is, the halacha is, that if somebody goes to the mikveh, they don't have to have that the water of the mikveh, if a woman goes to the mikveh, that the water of the mikveh should enter her body. Tumas space as starim, it's called, is not a problem. Yet the halacha is that a woman, before she goes to the mikveh, has to make sure there's no chatzitza, even in her teeth. We just said the water doesn't have to go into your mouth. The answer is, it has to be able to go in, and if it go in, there would be no chatzitza. If, however, you have a situation where there's a chatzitza in your mouth, it would be a problem. Another interesting psak that I saw, I caution that I saw this psak lahalocha v'loy l'maisa, is sometimes somebody's reading from a Sefer Torah. And when you read from the Sefer Torah, you may find something that would disqualify the Sefer Torah. And there's all sorts of halochas. Do you bring out another Sefer Torah? Do you not bring out another Sefer Torah? Where do you begin to read from? So there are paiskin that want to suggest that there's a difference in halocha between when the Torah's qualification is found during the week versus when it's found on Shabbos. In other words, let's say you find two letters that seem to be connected. Not completely connected, but somewhat connected. So during the week, where it's no problem to separate the two letters, it could be the Sefer Torah's kosher. Shabbos, where halachically you're not allowed to separate the letters on Shabbos, it's more of a shaila in the qualification of the Sefer Torah. Another pshat that I saw from the Be'er Mayim Chaim. There's a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says in Masechet Kedushin, Hare, if somebody is Nekadosh Anisha, somebody marries a woman, Amnash Tzadik Gomer, we know the person is not a Tzadik Gomer. The halacha is the Kedushin is a valid Kedushin. Question is, how is it a valid Kedushin? How is it a valid Kedushin? So the Gemara answers. Shema Hirat Tshuva. Maybe he had a Hirat Tshuva. So the question is, just because somebody had a Hirat Tshuva makes you into a Tzadik Gomer? The answer is, as soon as you have the Hirat Tshuva, you have the ability to be a Tzadik Gomer. And that's Roi Labila. If you don't have the Hirat Tshuva, you're not Roi Labila. One more example. The Emek Baruch makes a very interesting, this is somewhat of a controversial issue. The Emek Baruch says that there were people that suggested that the Korban Pesach could be brought even now when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. The Mizbeach could be erected. A famous controversy. So the question is, why specifically a Korban Pesach versus all other kabbonis? The answer is, because all other kabbonis require a reich nichayach, that it should be pleasant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in a time when we have a Chorban Habayis, in the time of Golis, there's no reich nichayach. So the question is, asked the Emek Bracha, that let's say a carbon is brought, speaking about a lot of kachim sugyas today, let's say a carbon is brought, and it wasn't brought l'reich nichayach. The carbon is still a kosher carbon. So what's the issue with all the other kabbonis? That we can't have nowadays a reich nechayach. A reich nechayach is not essential. The answer is, as our Gemara says, it has to be possible to have a reich nechayach. But But nowadays, where it's virtually impossible to have a reich nichayach because we live in a time of galus, then the reich nichayach is ma'akif. So that's why here too, in a time where you can't read the parasha on mikra bikurim, then you're kafu. Says the Gemara. Rav Acha bar Yaakov mas la, k'd Rav Asi amar Rav Yochanan. This halacha that we just started with, the bikurim, hanochem ha'keves behem, kriya em ha'keves behem, he said in the name of Rav Yochanan, which led him to have the following question. The kashle de Rav Yochanan de Rav Yochanan, which led him to have a contradiction in Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, which was as follows. Umiyam Rabbi Yochanan, did Rabbi Yochanan indeed say, that bikurim, hanocha makeves behen, until you did a hanocha, the koyim may not eat it. Kriya is a makeves behen, is not essential. Ask the Gemara, for bar minei Rav Asi min Rabbi Yochanan, bikurim, me emesai mitarim lekahanim, at what point may the kahanim eat the kahanim? May eat bikurim, vamrelei, and he responded, haruim lekriya, the bikurim that one could say the mikra bikurim over mishir karalayim for when there was the kriya, vish ain ruin the kriya, but the ones that, as we gave examples before, you can't read the mikra bikurim. We'll have more example and tomorrow's shir mishir up nei abayis from when, according to most rishonim, they brought into the Azara. The Rambam says from when they brought into Yerushalayim. But ask the Gemara. Here we have a stira, kasha kriya kriya. Here Rabbi Yochanan says that kriya is essential. A moment ago he said kriya is not essential. Furthermore, hanocha, kasha, kriya, kriya, kasha, hanocha, hanocha. Before Rabbi Yochanan said that hanocha is absolutely essential. And he says, ropnei bayis. He doesn't speak anything about hanocha. Answers the Gemara. Kriya, 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 loy kasha. This theory that we asked regarding kriya is not difficult, because the way to resolve it, Harab Shimon, according to Rab Shimon, as we learned in our Mishnah, and we said that our Mishnah represents the opinion of Rab Shimon Bar Yochai, the one that holds that Kri is essential is the opinion of Rab Shimon. Harabonon, the opinion that says that it's not essential, follows the opinion of the Rabbonon. Hanocha, a Hanocha Loikasha. Furthermore, is Hanocha essential or not, represents Machloikis of Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbonon. We Rabbanan hold that Hanocha is essential, and Rabbi Yehuda holds it's not. Ask the Gemara, my Rabbi Yehuda, where do we find Rabbi Yehuda holding that Hanocha is not essential? But before we go into this Gemara, I have to say another rule, which is a very important rule when we learn Kachim Sugis. And that is, Shina Olava Kosev L'Akev, which means, only when the Torah repeats a rule, is it a rule that's essential? If the Torah doesn't repeat a rule in Kachim, then it's not essential. So Rabbi Yehuda learns as follows. Rabbi Yehuda says that the Torah mentions Hanocha two times, Vinachtoi. So it says Rabbi Yehuda, the second time the Torah uses the words Hanocha, it refers to Tznufa, that the Bikurim, and we're going to discuss this in a moment more, has to be picked up and waved. The second time the Torah says Vinachtoi, it's coming to teach us that that process, that procedure, must be done to the Bikurim. Says the Gemara, Ata'aymazu Tznufa, is that what the Torah means when it speaks about Vinachtoi the second time? Maybe the Torah means that it has to be placed in front of the Mizbeach. Says Rabbi Yehuda, Kshu'aym V'nicha, when the Torah already mentioned V'hinichai, Harei Hanocha Omer, so the Torah already told us the requirement of putting the Bikurim in front of the Mizbeach. Hama ani mikayim v'inachtoi. What do I learn from the Torah saying v'inachtoi a second time? Sutanufa. So according to Yehuda, the Torah only speaks about Hanocha once. And as I said a moment ago, if a din is only mentioned once, it's not ma'akiv, it's not essential. And therefore, according to Yehuda, Hanocha is not ma'akiv. But we said that the Rabbanan disagree with Yehuda. And according to Rabbanan, Hanocha is ma'akiv. Ask the Gemara, who is that Tana that argues with Rabbi Yehuda, and what is the basis of his disagreement with Rabbi Yehuda? Ask the Gemara, man Tana, the Palagavay Rabbi Yehuda, says the Gemara of Elazar ben Yaakov. The Tanya, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the Pasuk says, V'lokach ha-koyin ha-tenem yodecha, limit al-bikurim shetunin tenufa the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, as we're going to explain in a moment, the halacha of tenufa, we learn from the pasuk of Lokach Hakoyin Atenem Yodecha. So we don't need the pasuk of Ihinachtoi to teach us the halacha of Tanufa. So now we have two psukim that teach us the halacha of Anocha. So we have a situation where the din is repeated. Once the din is repeated, it's ma'akiv, it becomes essential. Ask the Gemara, how does Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov take the words of Lokach Hakoyin Atenem Yodecha to teach us a din of Tanufa? My Talmud, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, answers the Gemara, Ask you Yad Yad Mishlamim. He learns Gzeir Shavu from Shlamim. Ksiv Hochet says regarding the Bikurim, V'lokach HaKoyin Atenem Yedecha. V'ksiv, it says regarding the Shlamim, Yodav Tavdiyena Asish HaShem. So the Torah both, in both subjects mentions the word Yad. Ma Kan Koyin, Af Lahalim Koyin. Just like by Shlamim refers to the Koyin, here too refers to the Koyin. Ma Lahalim Balim, Af Kan Balim. Just like by the Bikurim, the Torah says V'lokach HaKoyin, here it says V'lokach HaKoyin, and there, which refers to the Koyin, here it says Yodav to the Vienna, which refers to the owner. So both of them have to participate in the Tanufa. HaKetzad, how is the Tanufa done? Meniach Koyin Yodav Tachas Yad Balim, the Koyin places his hands under the hands of the owners, or Menif, and that's how Tanufa is done. So just to quickly review. According to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, the Halacha of Tanufa is learned from the Pasuk of Lokach HaKoyin Atonim Yodecha. So we have the Torah mentioning V'yinachta twice. That's why Hanoch is Ma'akif. According to Yehuda, we need one of the V'yinachtais to teach us the Halacha of Tanufa, because he doesn't learn this Gzeir Shava. So the Halacha of Tanufa is not mentioned twice. And therefore, the Halacha is that Hanoch is not Ma'akif. Ask the Mefarshim, ask the Rishonim. But we also learned in our Shir, we actually, it's the opinion of Shimon of our Mishnah, that Kriya is Ma'akif. And we're learning now that something is ma'akiv only if it's mentioned twice. So where's Kriya mentioned twice that Rav Shimon should say that it's ma'akiv? So Rishonim answered, the pasuk says, v'anisa v'amarta. So you have a double lashon, v'anisa v'amarta, that's how we know Kriya is ma'akiv. And I saw that Mefarshim make a very interesting observation. Why is the Torah is indeed teaching us Kriya is ma'akiv? Because we have the words v'anisa v'amarta. But why does the Torah use different words? The Torah should have used the same word, either the word Venisa twice or the word Vamarta twice. Why does the Torah choose different words? So the Mefarshim want to suggest to teach us that it's not enough just to say it, but it has to be said with the Tamim, with the Trop. That's what the Torah is teaching us by changing the wording of the Kriya. Tosfos asks that Al Gemara just said, how is the Tanufa done? With the Kohen putting his hands under the hands of the owner, and that's how Tanufa is done. Ask Tosfos, if the Torah says V'lokach HaKoyin, and we're saying that Tanufa has to be done by the Koyin, so why? How is this a valid Tanufa? Aren't the hands of the owner a chatzitza under the hands of the owners? So I saw three truths into this question. One answer is that indeed, under normal circumstances, it would be chatzitza. Here, the Torah specifically tells us to do it that way, so we can't ask questions that are chatzitza. One teretz. Another teretz that I saw is that the Torah really wants the Balim, the owner, to do Tanufa. The Kohen is not the main player in the bringing of the Bikurim. It's the owner of the fruit who's the main player in the bringing of the fruit. And therefore, even though the Kohen is doing a Tanufa with a Chatzitza, it doesn't disturb us. A third shot that I saw is that the Tanufa is not done in a fashion where they both put where the Kohen puts his hands directly under the hands of the owner, which that would involve a Chatzitza. Rather, what's done here is that the Kohen puts his hands on the side of the basket in which the Bikurim are brought, and the owner puts his hands under the basket, so they're not touching each other, and therefore we have no problem with Chatzitza.